The following is a special Crossman conversation on the people of Iran. Brought to you by Meeks Capital, Frontier Partners, First Horizon Bank, and Crossman Career Builders.
The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
The Crossman Conversation is hosted by John Crossman. John's heart is to see our community of leaders unite around what we have in common. John will be joined by political leaders, religious leaders, as well as activists making a difference in our nation. Here is your host for the Crossman Conversation, John Crossman.
Hello, this is John Crossman, and welcome to the Crossman Conversation. Before we get started, Mike, I got to tell you this quick story, okay?
All right.
So listen, you know, when I was a kid, one of the first historic moments in U.S. history I remember was the Iranian hostage situation.
Oh, I remember.
And that was like a big deal. It was like one of those things I first became aware of something. And years later, something else sort of significant happened in my childhood, which was somebody gave me a Publix-sponsored map of the world. I remember having this map of the world on my wall, and I had it taped up there. And I really got into coin collecting, and I collected coins from all the world. And one of the hardest places to get coins from was Iran because of those issues. And would you believe, you know, 40 plus years later, I become friends with a guy who's Iranian, who went to Iran just a few months ago and got me some coins from Iran. He believed that. It took me 45 years to get him. And that gentleman is my friend Rockman. So Rockman's here for him. So let's just say hello, Rockman.
Hi, John. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to have you here. So I've got Rockman here with me. And also I have with me is my new friend, and her name is Serene Tabor. And she's the founder and executive director of Empower Women Media. Serene, you're there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Got it. And I'm so glad to have both of you on the show. And what we're talking about today is Iran. And we're really trying to talk about a perspective of the people of Iran and the voice of Iran. And my hope in this show is really to help give our listeners a perspective of just the voices of the people of Iran. So we know that the struggles have happened there historically over the many several decades, but really the most recent stuff. So, Rockman, I want to start with you. Do you mind just tell us a little bit about your background a little bit?
Okay, I grew up in north of Iran. North of Iran, people are religious, but that the Islam that they have is the most moderate. For example, my mom, she was covering hijab, but she was dancing in party, wedding party, and singing, which is not normal for most of the Muslim countries. But anyway, I grew up in that family, but my dad was a kind of man dominate, but he was respecting to women. Is that done?
Yeah, it's good. So you grew up in northern Iran, and your mom was, sounds like she was a strong woman. You've told me several stories about her, and that your dad, you know, more of a man culture, but he was very respectful of women as well.
On that time, that when I was a child, I was 6 years old. So most of Iranians support the government. And I remember one time people were fleeing from a revolutionary guard. They jumped to our house and my mom rescued them. She kept them in our house for a couple of hours. And then she gave them chador, which is a full body hijab, and then let them one by one go out. So she was always beside oppressed people. So she was helping them.
Mike, can you imagine that? Can you imagine like a young Rockman being in northern Iran and these people coming over the wall just looking for help, and his mother dressing him like women to help them out? And you told me that years later, one of them came up to you and said, "Your mother saved my life."
Yeah, he said that if your mom was not, I was killed a while ago. And then he was respectful.
Imagine that. Yeah. So he was raised by a strong Iranian woman. And so you're in the States now, but your family's still there.
Yes, my family are there. My niece, my nephew, every day they are going outside. We don't know what's going on there. Since they are shutting down the internet, I'm seeing the message with lag is coming. Uncle, where should we go? She's asking from my brother, where should we go gather? So they try to protest. So they are very brave. They are much braver than our generation.
Well, that must be a real hard issue for you to like, you're here in America and you have lots of American friends and you love it here. And yet you love your family back home and having to deal with that stress of what's going on there. So I imagine it's important for you to have people hear your voice and hear their voice of what they're dealing with. Is that right?
Yeah, I think the only thing that I can do is echo their voice. This is what they want to be heard. Many of my friends in the United States, they don't know even what is going on there. So that is my duty to echo their voice, I think.
Gotcha. Well, thank you. Thank you for that. Shireen, can you jump in the conversation? You came to actually Rachman and I through a mutual friend, and just tell us your Iranian story and talk a little bit about lending a voice to the people in Iran. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, thank you. Yes, I come from an Iranian American heritage with an Iranian Muslim father and an American Christian mother. And I've lived in both countries. I was born in Southern California, but my father worked with Iran Airlines, and he was a liaison for Boeing, and he would help purchase planes and outfit them and take them back to Iran. And so my childhood was great. I got to live in both countries, learn English and Farsi. But everything changed in 1979 when I was a small girl and the country became an Islamic republic overnight. And we were not able to safely live there anymore. So my American mother demanded that we come back for safety. And it's been a very difficult journey because I can't go back. It's not safe with my husband, who's an American, and my children. They don't recognize our marriage because my husband's a Christian, and they don't recognize that according to Islamic law. So lots of hardships, lots of sadness because we can't be reconciled with our family in that part of the world. I have more to share, but do you have other questions?
Yeah, well, I wanted to talk about, just pull that thread a little bit, that, you know, when I've talked to other Iranians, getting ready for this interview, what I consistently hear, people I know here in my community in Central Florida, is that it's funny, every Iranian I know is very well educated. They're very smart. They're very kind, very caring people. They're kind of people like I want to hang out with, I want to have them be neighbors with and have involved my life. And yet I also hear consistent sadness that they also love their country and they'd love to have more of connectivity to their country. But they all repeatedly I hear is that they either can't go back or they could go back. They just don't feel safe about going back. And let me bring Rachman back real quick. I mean, did you have some concern for your safety when you went back there recently? Was that?
I was concerned. It was safe for going there, but who knows? Because they hijack many Iranian American, and then they use them as a bargaining chip. So there is always risk to go to Iran.
When he went to Iran, I gave Rachman a family heirloom of mine, and I said, "Your mission is you have to bring this back to me." Because I wanted to say to him, come home. And he did. He did bring it back to me. But I just was really worried about him the whole time. So, Shireen, go ahead on your side. Is like, tell me just, I want to go into this. Like, if somebody doesn't know anything about the Iranian situation, and they're an American, and they're a good person, what do you want them to know? What do you want them to know about that situation?
Yes. Well, we're living at a historic time where this generation, they're very young, ages 15 to 30, are crying out for freedom, and not just freedom, but religious freedom. They no longer want to live in a one religion state. They no longer want to live in a theocracy where Islam is the only lens from which you can see life. And this young generation, they're really smart and very digitally, social media connected. They're looking to explore. They want to travel. They want to have relationships with people outside their country. They want to explore ideas outside of a very traditional Islamic lens. And so we have an amazing opportunity as Americans, as the West, people who support democracy, to support this pro-democracy movement. This generation is crying out for the chance to live like the rest of the world. And so as Americans, I believe we owe it to them to support this movement, to require our president and our government to stand with them and to look for multiple options to support this regime change. That can come by increasing sanctions, by freezing bank accounts, not just the Iranian regime, but many of their family members and friends who live in America and are going to our universities and are employed in our country. So we believe that we really need to tighten things down in Iran so that this regime is crippled and it can, and that people can freely live in Iran. So that's my message. If you love America and you love democracy, then you must support the freedom movement in Iran.
Gotcha. And that's not telling that any specific, like this is how it should be. It's allowing them to have a voice to be who they want to be. in their own format. Would you agree with that, Rockman?
Yes, 100%. This is correct. Right now, this is not anti-religious protest. They want the freedom of religious. They want their right. Right now, you said that Iranians are high educated. Right now, 60% of universities in Iran are occupied by girls. But if you look at our government structure, there is no women had no role. So they don't have lots of right. When I was leaving Iran, they asked me give permission to my wife to leave the country. That was insulting my wife. My wife has three masters, more educated than me. So it is insulting them. So nowadays the young generation, they know that they are technology guy. They know everything. They know what's their right. So they want to get it.
Gotcha. Listen, having a lot of educated women and not having their advice, that seems like a bad move, Mike. I don't know about you. Well, listen, I want us to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back. I want to continue this conversation. And Shireen and Rockman, I want you to think about just any more thoughts and advice that our listeners need to hear if you're thinking about what they can do for the Iranian people. So this is a Crossman Conversation, and we'll be right back.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
It's said that it's not how much money you make, it's how much you keep and use to plan for your future. Nathan Meeks, principal at Meeks Capital, combines leading investment techniques with modern financial planning software to be the resource you turn to for clear, objective, and sound financial advice. For a no-obligation consultation, call Nathan at 407-494-5439 or visit meekscapital.com.
Are you willing to serve communities in crisis around the world? To people who are impoverished, oppressed, and persecuted? Frontier Partners International offers mission opportunities in areas least served to meet the needs of the helpless, the hapless, and hopeless. To learn how you can be a partner of this frontline ministry with your time, talent, or treasure, visit frontier-partners.org. That's frontier-partners.org.
Here's a call to those who want to make an impact on their company, their community, or who possess a desire to make the world a better place. Crossman Career Builders provides the tools and resources for you or your company to make a difference on some of the toughest issues that we all face. Crossman Career Builders partners with CEOs, politicians, and pastors seeking to address problems of racism, mental health, addiction, justice, and suicide. CrossmanCB.com.
Once again, here is John Crossman.
And we're back. This is John Crossman with the Crossman Conversation. And this is actually a special edition that we're doing today. And I have several people in my life that are Iranian, and including my buddy Rockman here. And I've just really felt their heart about what's really been happening recently. And so I've been trying to do what I can to kind of lean in and listen and help give a voice to these people who I care about and the situation they're going through. And Shireen, let me ask you about this. Let's talk about this as a subject about Iranians in our life. So if I am working and I have a friend, see him every single day just about, and he's Iranian, how can I be supportive to the Iranians in my life that are around me and knowing what's happening there? How can I help them?
Yes, thank you. Well, the Iranians in America and in the West are deeply grieved by what's happening because there are over 14,000 people who have been imprisoned in Iran, some of our greatest minds, journalists, thinkers, artists. And so, you know, they might be going to work, but this is heavily weighing on them. And oftentimes at night, or when they have a break, they're checking social media, they're checking on their family. So this is a unique time for us to just come alongside our Iranian neighbors and coworkers and just check on them. How are you doing? How can I pray for you? You know, maybe take a meal. You know, I had a friend over the other day and she said she's been on social media almost 24 hours a day checking on things. And I told her, you've got to take a break. So I had her over for a cup of tea. And then secondly, I think we need to prepare for change. And when that change comes, and we are anticipating a democratic change, that we encourage our Iranian friends and neighbors to think of tangible ways that they can go back and invest in their country. We believe that Iran is poised to be an epicenter for tech and creativity and business and tourism once this regime changes. And when the Islamic Republic falls, it will create massive shockwaves all throughout the Middle East and the world, where we will realize that religious dictators can no longer rule. Theocracy does not work in the modern world. And so we'll want to encourage our friends and neighbors to invest in Iran and to make it a safe space that can really be a blessing to the countries around, and even extend an olive branch of peace, not only to America, but their neighbors. So we're anticipating great things. We just need to walk with our friends from Iran in this new journey. And it's a very exciting time. I hope the listeners can believe that with us.
That's awesome. I want to bring Rachman back in. Rachman, you know, when I hear Shireen saying is that, I need to be nice to you. That's what she's saying. Yes. you know, I care very much about you. And so to listen, to love, maybe I'm not going to make you a meal, but I may order Grubhub. I'm teasing. it's funny, as you and I have started this journey together, when you brought this to my attention, there are people in my life I didn't know were Iranian. And so I learned that, and then I'm just trying to lean in. And so is it meaningful, like when somebody says to you, like, hey, how are you doing? Sort of acknowledging the grief you're going through and just giving you a platform to talk. Is that helpful?
Absolutely. When people are asking me what's going on with you, what's going on in Iran, that means a lot for me. I remember when I was in 2008, I was part of this protester, and then every night I was Googling and seeing what other countries what Western country are talking about. And then I don't want to bring a name here, but if any of a Western country was beside people, we were happy, and otherwise we were upset. And then it will give us energy to go on every night. As you said, every night I'm going I'm doing my second job. Me and my wife, both of them, we are doing some, just getting video from them, publishing online, and then doing our own activities. So definitely that will give you energy.
Yeah, that's a really human experience. And then I love what Shireen said about tangible ways to encourage. So like the regime change does happen, and then what, right? And starting to think about what's the tangible thing that can happen there. Do you have any other thoughts on that, Rachman?
Many of people are saying that there is no alternative when this government goes, but this is not true. Right now we have many good alternatives. Many of them are in jail in Iran. And then if you look at in the United States, there are many pioneer Iranian ladies and men, they live in the United States. There are all alternative, but what right now we need is unity and solidarity against this regime. We just want them to go, but we have good alternative to in Iran, and Iran would not be a country like, I don't know, Libya. It's completely different.
Yeah, absolutely. Shireen, so you touched this, but I want you to hit this point. What would it look like to be living in a world where there is a free Iran? What does it look like for everybody else if Iran's free?
Oh, it will be huge, because Iran borders Russia, Afghanistan, Pakistan. It's not far from Israel. It's not far from Europe. Can you imagine a world where we could freely travel in and out of Iran, doing business and promoting peace building and women's rights and education? I mean, it would completely change so many sectors, including the energy sector.
For sure.
You think about oil prices and so forth. So that was the vision before 1979. Unfortunately, you know, Americans dropped the ball. We have to admit that we allowed Khomeini to come in and take over that country. But imagine if we could reverse that and go back to the original plan, where Iran could be an ally for the U.S., and be able to be a way for us to access other nations in the area to promote peace building and strong business economies. The Iranians are very bright. They're very involved in the tech sector, in Silicon Valley, in education, healthcare. Imagine if Iran could be a capital for these things in the region, and it would just flow into the other countries. So I'm expecting great things. And I think we need to hold to that vision and move together. into that future.
So you're saying a healthy Iran, a healthy world. It's a good thing.
Yes.
Rockman, before we wrap up, we got a few more minutes. I want to make sure you get the full opportunity in your own voice to say anything else you'd like to express. Is there anything else you want our listeners to know?
Yeah, when you asked me how can I help you, I wanted to ask you, I mean, the question, the better question was why we should help you.
Yeah.
And then imagine the world without Iranian dictatorial regime. I've grown up with the deal between Israel and Palestine. It never goes well. And then the reason is that Iran is charging the radical group there. Same thing in Lebanon, same thing in Syria. And nowadays, Iran is sending suicide drones to Ukraine to bomb the innocent people in Ukraine. And the all reason goes back to this dictator regime. While Iranians living poor, they are supporting many other countries. And then some people say we shouldn't put sanction on Iran. But the point is that they are selling the oil, they are getting more resources to spend budget for making escalating all war, especially in Middle East. So limiting their resource show their mismanagement shows their corruption, plus make the world a better place.
Do you have anything you'd like to say in Farsi, just in your own language you want to say?
میخوام بگم که من باهاتون هستم. من هر جایی که توی دنیا، خیلی از دوستان به من میگن که اونجا زندگی کن، لذتشو ببر، ولی من میخوام بگم که من باهاتون هستم. من خودم تو زندگیمو تو ریسک میندازم که ایران بهتری داشته باشیم.
That's awesome. I hope you didn't say anything bad about me, Rockman.
No, I just said that was important.
No, I'm just teasing. I wanted to give you your voice in your voice.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. All right. So as we need to get wrapped up in just a minute or two, Shireen, is there anything else we missed? I want to give you a voice. You're an Iranian woman, and I respect that so much. So is there anything you want to say that we didn't cover?
Yeah, no, this was a great opportunity for us to show our support for Iran. So I really appreciate that. I hope that others will join you, John, in bringing attention and shining a light on Iran. And if we truly want a better future, more national security for the U.S. and our neighbors, we need to keep our eye on this country. And they're so interconnected with the crisis in Ukraine and the Hezbollah and you know, feeding the channels of terrorism. So thank you for letting us just point your audience to Iran, and we need to stand together.
Is there anything you'd like to say in Farsi?
My Farsi is not as strong, but yeah, I can say ke bale ke azadi mikhaim zan zendegi azadi. And yes, we really are excited to see the women and girls leading this movement and their brothers and fathers and husbands standing with them. When women get involved, we need to expect great things. So that's my last thought.
Well, I'm thankful for you and Rockman. I'm thankful for your mom and for your wife, and I'm thankful for you and your friendship. And I hope that both of you will stay in close touch with us here. And if you think of anything else that we can do to be supportive of getting your message out, we're honored to do so. Absolutely honored. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, listen, this has been the Crossman Conversation. This is a special edition about the voice of the Iranian people. And I hope our listeners will really take to heart what Rockman and Shireen shared with us. I would encourage you to pray for the people of Iran in a very real way. I would encourage you to be encouraging to Iranians that are in your life and lean in. And I think that Shireen mentioned the word grieving, that knowing that they're in a sensitive place and acknowledge that and listen, and then find other ways to help share their story in a positive way. One of the things I talked to an Iranian friend of mine, he said, you know, we are not as a people against the Jewish faith. We're not against the Christian faith. Like, I think some people might think Iran, like, oh, that's our enemy. The people of Iran are not our enemy. You know, we need to be loving and encouraging those people. There's some leadership there, but it's not the people, and finding ways to connect those people. So anyway, thanks so much. This has been the Crossman Conversation, and support your local HBCU.
This has been Crossman Conversation, produced by a Crossman Career Builders Mark Radio Production.